Juan settled the earbud of his radio a little deeper and tapped the throat mic to let the others know he was in position. Below him lay the responsivist compound, a collection of rambling buildings surrounded by a whitewashed cement block wall. Behind the compound was a rocky beach with a single wooden jetty running 100 feet into the Gulf of Corinth. With the tide just coming back in, he could smell the water on the soft breeze. The buildings were low slung, as if clinging to the ground, reminding Cabrillo of the work of Frank Lloyd Wright. The shallow roofs were covered in barrel tile that looked black through his third-generation night-vision goggles, but he knew from their pre-launch briefing the tiles were red clay. The lawns within the compound were burned brown from a drought, and the leaves on the few gnarled olive trees were dried husks. It was 3:30 in the morning, and the only lights showing were affixed to strategically placed poles. He turned his attention to the wall. It stood 10 feet high and was a double layer of thick cement blocks running for nearly 800 feet on a side. As was the custom in this part of the world, upright glass shards had been embedded in the top of the wall to deter intruders. Earlier in the day, he and Linda had gone to the only security company in the nearby town of Corinth, posing as an American couple who'd just purchased an oceanside house and wanted to install an alarm system. The store's owner boasted he'd done extensive work for the responsivists. The tripwire running atop the wall was one of the first things Juan observed when he got into position. Next came the cameras. And by the time his team had finished counting, they had spotted 13 on the exterior of the buildings alone. They could only assume there were more inside. There was a single rolling gate bisecting the stone driveway, and another smaller gate at the back of the facility in line with the jetty. A pair of chain-link fences jutted from the compound walls and out into the sea to prevent people walking along the shore from trespassing on responsivist property. Although the security measures weren't particularly overt, it did give the complex a forbidding aura, but not from the outside, Juan reflected. It didn't look as though the place was designed to keep people out, but rather to keep them in. With their strategy worked out ahead of time and final tactics honed, the crew had spent the day putting everything into place, securing rental cars, scouting escape routes, and finding a suitable place nearby for George Adams to land the Robinson and transfer Kyle to the general aviation apron at Athens Airport. Chuck Gunderson already had the corporation's Gulfstream executive jet prepped for the quick flight to Rome. All the paperwork had been filed, and a limousine was waiting for them at the other end. Although Cabrillo was taking a role in the snatch and grab, Eddie Sung, as chief of shore operations, would lead the four-person attack, and it was his responsibility to make sure everyone involved was ready.
1 minute from my mark, Juan heard him whisper over the radio. Mark.
Juan tapped his transmit button in acknowledgement. He tested the pair of quick-draw holsters hanging from his hips, making certain the pair of compact Glock 19s came out easily. The seconds trickled by, and, as if a sign from above, clouds slid over the quarter moon, turning the night inky. Faintly, Juan could hear the throb of the Robinson R-44 as Gomez Adams got into position.
You ready?
He asked Mark Murphy, who was hunkered down next to him in the same roadside ditch.
2 missions in 3 days, Mark breathed.
His face was streaked with camo paint, and his long hair was tucked into a black bandana.
I think you've got it in for me.
Consider yourself our resident combat hacker.
Let's go,
Juan heard Eddie say. He tapped Murph on the shoulder, and they ran across the road together, their soft-soled boots making no sound on the macadam. When they reached the cement block wall, Cabrillo turned so that his back was toward it and cupped his hands. Mark stepped up onto Juan's palms, and then, with a boost, onto his shoulders.
Mark almost made the mistake of grasping the top of the wall to steady himself, but stopped just before he shredded his hands on the glass. He paused for a moment to let the chairman find his center of balance. Had Mark not known it was there, the monofilament security tripwire was nearly impossible to see. It ran along the perimeter of the wall, less than half an inch from the edge, supported by dozens of tiny insulators. If he were to guess, he'd say that less than 10 pounds of pressure would cut the wire and trigger the alarm. He pulled a voltmeter from a pouch at his hip to test the current flowing through the delicate wire. He selected an appropriate pair of alligator clamps and attached them to the wire, letting 3 feet of line dangle over the far side of the wall. With his bypass in place, he snipped the wire, wincing unconsciously in case he'd gotten it wrong. There were no raised cries, no klaxons, and no lights snapped on in any of the buildings.